We're all presidents, we're all congressmen, we're all cops. And it's only about survival. Who has skill to play the game for all it's worth? Reaching out, scary kind of perfection. Let's try and keep as much emotion out of.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. George Lakoff, the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Distinguished Professor of Cognitive Science and Linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley. He's the author of The Political Mind, Moral Politics, Don't Think Like an Elephant, Whose Freedom, and Thinking Points. He has an article at the Huffington Post, Occupy Elections with a Simple Message. Welcome to Background Briefing, George Lakoff.
Pleasure to be here, Ian.
And you're arguing in your article that the next step for the Occupy movement is to occupy elections. Just as the Tea Party gained power, you feel that the Occupy movement can change the nation by engaging in electoral politics, because elections focus attention on public discourse. And so far, the 99% versus the 1% has opened a national dialogue that should be built upon.
That's right. One of the things that's important about this is that the folks who have actually been in the streets, been in the tents, had the general assemblies and so on, have raised very important issues and inspired a lot of people around the country. Some of those folks don't believe in the political system and mainly want to raise these issues, and they've done so successfully. But there are many others, both those who are in the encampments and those outside supporting them, who would actually function very well in the political system and should be doing so. One of the things that most people don't understand is that there's a general principle behind all of the hundreds of things that the Occupy movement has been both reasonably complaining about and the hundreds of reasonable proposals they put forth. It is not a jumble. It is a structured system, and it's based on a single moral principle, and that is that democracy begins with citizens caring about each other and acting responsibly on that care, both individual and social responsibility, and that the role of government is to empower and protect all citizens equally. And that requires a robust notion of a public, that is, a public that has infrastructure for everybody, education and health available to everyone, that has publicly financed research, that has sewer systems, that has an internet, and all of those things that have been provided by originally by the public. And nothing in the private, nobody who makes money in this country, no industry that makes money can make any money at all, can do anything without a robust sense of the public of that sort. Without it, you become, basically like the Congo. I mean, this is a problem. You have to have a robust sense of the public for this, and that is a basic message. The idea behind this is government to citizens caring about each other, acting responsibly on that care, and constructing a robust public. That is the simple message that is behind every one of the proposals that the Occupy movement has been putting forth. And all the things that they've been opposing, all of the horrors that they correctly point out, have come from an opposing view of democracy. It's a conservative view of democracy, and it says that democracy gives you the freedom to seek your self-interest without the regard of the interests of anybody else. And that what that does is impose a moral hierarchy. It says the people who succeed deserve to succeed, those who don't deserve it, and therefore the people who succeed are more moral and they should be in charge. And that gives you a moral hierarchy of wealth and power. That is what the Occupy movement is arguing against. The principles in general are simple and straightforward, and all the proposals follow from those principles. they can be taken into the Democratic Party, because those same principles are actually, to a large extent, behind what progressives and progressive Democrats are about and have always been about. But they're largely unconscious. They're not stated. They need to be stated and brought out in public. And there's a sort of dirty secret about the Democrats and about Republicans, too, about parties in general. Parties, and especially the Democratic Party, need volunteers. They need people to come in and register voters, knock on doors, distribute pamphlets, get on talk radio, talk in public places, in schools, in business organizations, and so on. You know, they need people to be out there to take people to the polls. They need a tremendous number of people in campaigns. And the people who've been in the Occupy movement have shown that they're competent, that they're able to run these remarkable organizations. You know, an encampment is not simple. An encampment not only requires, you know, setting up a few tents or something. You've got to provide food, you've got to provide safety, you've got to provide sanitation, communication, organization, and that's just what any campaign needs. So what the Occupy movement needs to understand is that if their members just go and join Democratic clubs and only support and insist on supporting only candidates who agree with those general principles about what democracy is, about caring about one another, about being responsible and acting responsibly on that care, about having a robust notion of the public. If those candidates are the ones supported, you can change the country. You know, it is very important to defeat Republican candidates from the Tea Party and other conservative candidates, in Congress, and to take back Congress. And the Occupy movement has the numbers to do it and has the energy to do it. And I'd like to see it.
But, George Lakoff, I have talked to a number of people involved in organizing Occupy LA, Zuccotti Park in New York, and Occupy Washington, D.C. Some of them, admittedly, are with the Green Party, and they have a kind of reflexive hatred of the Democrats. But, boy, that's a tough sell to say anything about the Democratic Party. And I've actually offered that suggestion on a couple of occasions, making the point that the right-wing Tea Party captured the Republican movement party and moved the national agenda way to the right. Why can't progressives capture the Democratic Party? Because it's a corrupt and hollow shell. And I just draw a blank on that one.
Well, I think what's important here is to understand that there are a lot of different roles to be played in this movement. That's right. There are people who correctly point out that the Democratic Party hasn't done what it needs to have done. That's absolutely right. Their criticisms are very largely, not universally right, but many of them are correct criticisms, and they need to be out there saying them. The folks you have talked to are people who've come out there, who are in the streets, who've set up their tents, who have stayed there, who have hung in there, because they are sick of the way that the Democrats have not been doing their job. And those folks need to keep on saying those things, but they're not the only parts of this movement. The movement is not just the folks who are in the encampments. The movements are all the folks out there who support those in the encampments. And those people have a different role to play. Their role is to be in elections and to change this country.
Well, the universal, I mean, first of all, the framing, if all that the Occupy movement has achieved is framing the debate in terms of the 99% versus the 1%, then they've made an enormous contribution.
Absolutely.
But a part of that is the very clear and present reality that not only have the plutocrats and the oligarchs captured our economy, they own most of our politicians, and that both parties are caught in the trap of these money-driven politics.
But that's where people need to know something that a lot of people don't realize. What money buys a political party is people. It buys them people willing to register voters, to call into talk shows, to get on the Internet, to set up, a social networks, to knock on doors. That's what, to contribute to commercials, et cetera. That's what money buys. Money buys people willing to work and able to work. And you don't need the money, that money, if you have, all the people who are supporting the Occupy movement. That's what the Occupy movement has, people with truth and energy. And, the dirty secret is that is what the money buys. And we have it, but we're not using it.
And you don't have to be for sale, in other words.
You don't have to be for sale. What's happening, slowly, social movements are taking over our politics. There is, for example, an NGO being set up raising a relatively small amount of money so that anybody who wants to run for office can get a website set up to run for office, but it's a very serious socially networked website with all kinds of interesting bells and whistles. For example, the money raised can take videos of campaign debates and then chop them up and put them on these websites showing exactly what your candidate versus other candidates have to say on each issue. They can do many, many things like that that are cheap, that don't take a lot of money, in many cases are free. It is not the case that money is absolutely necessary for this. It is not the case that corporations need to be there in order to capture candidates. The Occupy movement, by its energy and numbers, can capture candidates who believe in what they believe in.
Again, I'm speaking with George Lakoff, the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Distinguished Professor of Cognitive Sciences and Linguistics at the University of California and the author of The Political Mind, Moral Politics, Don't Think Like an Elephant, Whose Freedom, and Thinking Points. He has an article at the Huffington Post, Occupy Elections with a Simple Message. Now, I agree, George Lakoff, that having spoken to a number of people involved in the Occupy movement, including some of the people who began it, it would be such a tragedy if the Bloombergs of this world that closed them down relegated them to their 15 minutes of fame. And there is a tendency on the part of the left and the progressives to be disheartened. And there may be a sense of defeat. This would be the greatest tragedy of all, to cede the field to the Boehners and Gingriches and Cantors of the world, who are so zealously in the pocket of the plutocrats that I think American democracy wouldn't survive another 4 years of Republican rule.
I agree, and we have a grand opportunity. What I see is that the people who are most defeatist are the people who believe least in the country. And by the way, there is some language that really is self-defeating here. There's a language of war that is being used by the more anarchistic parts of the movement, that is war against America. And that doesn't help. That doesn't help change America. You know, there are wonderful things about America, and they need to be made more wonderful. There are wonderful things that have been lost that need to be regained. But, the Occupy movement has a moral message to be delivered. The 99% is where it begins, but that's not where it ends. There's a moral message to be delivered. It's a simple, straightforward message. It governs everything. And there are so many people out there who are encouraged by this movement. It would be devastating if it ends simply by people packing up their tents and going home or being disgusted or whatever, or if the mayors happen to use tactics to get people off the streets. The movement is not what is in the encampments. The encampments just started, this amazing movement, And, you know, the movement is there. It's in the minds of millions of people.
Well, I hope that the movement flourishes, and particularly the anti-corporatist divide, and that, you know, again, the refrain is, and it's not inaccurate at all, that the corporations own both parties. And, you know, there's obviously a huge battle ahead. But the point, I guess the point in the end of the day is that the battle has to be joined.
It has to be joined, and the Occupy movement has a chance to own a party.
Well,
and what's interesting about the local latest field poll is that 58% of Californians identify with the goals of the Occupy movement, and nearly half of Californians identify with the movement itself. And that is absolutely remarkable.
Well, I thank you for joining us, George Lakoff.
My pleasure, Ian. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Dr. George Lakoff, the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Distinguished Professor of Cognitive Sciences and Linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley. He's the author of The Political Mind, Moral Politics, Don't Think Like an Elephant, Whose Freedom and Thinking Points. He's an article in the Huffington Post, Occupy Elections with a Simple Message. So what do we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began with Rob Johnson, who was the chief economist for the U.S. Senate Banking and Budget Committees. We're talking about the Europeans, who essentially have a critical 10-day period to get their act together, after which the markets will probably crash the euro. And there's some question as to whether the move on the part of the central banks to try and create a firewall against the bleeding of the debt crisis will be insufficient, because the Europeans themselves seem reluctant to act, particularly the Germans. Rob Johnson revealed something that I had not heard before, and actually it's very credible, and albeit cynical, and that is that there are parts of the European elite, particularly in Germany, who simply want to crash the economy in order to crash the European social safety net, the social democracies, which, of course, you know, the Europeans are so far ahead of us. They have everything that we take for granted, as we can't even get healthcare. So that was a very interesting revelation, and something that I'd like to follow up on. But on the other hand, he said the self-interest of the catastrophe of a global economic downturn, an event along the lines of a sort of Lehman Brothers crash, may deter the more cynical people behind the scenes, if you will. Then I spoke with the journalism professor Dan Kennedy, who has an article, Why Liberals Should Be Rooting for Romney. And it's sort of an interesting kind of quirky idea, pointing out that if the economy does collapse and unemployment soars, then, you know, one of these crazy Republicans who Obama's supporters desperately want, they'd love him to run against a Bachman or a Gingrich or a Perry, or even a cane, if he lasts any more than a day or so. Dan Kennedy saying, be careful what you wish for, because if one of the more extreme Republicans gets elected, because the economy would be so bad, anybody could beat Obama, then America would lose big time. Of course, at the end of the day, that decision is entirely in the hands of the Republican voters, but then the people who vote in the Republican primaries are religious zealots and Tea Party activists. So we may end up with one of these crazies. And then I spoke with George Lakoff finally. He's written some very interesting stuff and done some very original thinking about how the left is poor at framing political ideas and political arguments and agendas. He's arguing that the Tea Party movement's its next step is to occupy elections. And just as the Tea Party gained power, he thinks that the Occupy movement can change the nation by engaging in electoral politics. He suggests that the corrupt and empty shell of the Democratic Party would be the obvious place for them to go. I've pointed out that all the people I've talked to think that they're absolutely a plague on both of their houses. But he nevertheless feels that it would be a tragedy for this powerful discourse, the 99% versus the 1%, not to go forward. And that the real point is that they're not just the people that are occupying. There's a whole bunch of people out there who already share this political idea. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbons. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing tomorrow. Bye for now. The man she loved, standing along the side of the pickup truck, a shot rang out in the night, just when everything seemed right, another headline written down in America.
fire.